Good morning. I noticed there's a few visitors here this morning. My name's David Eden. I'm one of the elders here, and I'll be speaking to you this morning on trying to tame the tongue. Once again, I know you shouldn't have favourites, but you've heard me say before that I do have a couple of books within the Bible that are my favourites, and James is one of those. James is one of those that grabs a very, very large piece of wood and then goes whack right between the eyes with you. And this is one of these passages. Dare I say it, for those who are regulars here, try and count up how many difficult passages I've had to speak on this year. And here I think there's some sort of plot amongst the elders, and I'm one of them, to try and sort of get me. I don't know. But anyway, it's certainly my pleasure to speak to you from God's word this morning on such a passage as this. So, put these on so I can see. Okay, let's start into it and see what we can find. Research reports that on average we speak about 700 times a day. Studies have shown that both men and women speak on average about 16,000 words. Whatever it might sound a fair bit, say if we took it down to 700 words, even this, I think, would possibly be too high. We find that even if we spoke 100 of those 700, what else do we do 100 times a day? Not much. Other research says we spend about 1/5 of our life talking. The human tongue accounts for under 1% of our body mass, but can punch well above its weight in the worst of areas. Let's see what Proverbs has to say about it. A lovely book, certainly from Solomon. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. 17:27, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The scriptures outside of James talk extensively about the use and the power of our tongues and our speech. The Bible tells us God is a speaking God. We see that in Genesis. God spoke the world into existence. One of the names of Jesus is literally the Word of God. God upholds the universe by his powerful word. Words have immense power. Look at Churchill's oration in 1940 that mobilized a really weary country into total battle to forge ahead through and defend England. And as we read in James, massive ships can be controlled by one person at the helm, controlling a rudder that is 1/100th of the size of the ship. So it makes sense that God would care deeply about how we use our words and our tongues. But let's look at some of the abuse of the tongue. Adam blamed Eve in Genesis. Psalms refer to those whose throat is an open grave, whose tongues deceive and whose mouths are full of curses and bitterness. Isaiah sensed the weight of words when he saw a vision of God's throne and the throne room and responded with, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." Certainly quite a lot that is mentioned within even just the Old Testament. But let's have a look at about the New Testament. James 3, 1 to 12 discusses talking. James 1, 1 to 19, he exhorts us to be slow to speak. James 1, 26, he said, and we've been over these over the last several weeks of our series within James. 1:26, he said, our use of the tongue is one indicator of true religion. Then Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of things stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. But then look at what Jesus says. We will have to give an account on Judgment Day for every careless word we have spoken. We will have to give an account on Judgment Day for every careless word spoken. Imagine of those 16,000 words that they estimate, how many of those are careless words? How many of those words are going to be that we need to account for, that Jesus is saying that we will need to account for? So let's get into the passage. What God wants for us to understand about our tongue is one, the tongue is powerful, the tongue is dangerous, and the tongue is untamable. So let's have a look at the first one. Verses 1 to 5a. Teachers must be careful with their words. You see, in verse 1, James directs our attention to those who teach. Those who teach. Here I am standing up here, speaking God's word, and teaching. I am inviting judgment upon myself. Teachers hold a lot of power. For those who can remember back to school days, no, not sure, or those who are still in school, think of some of the teachers that you had or have got. Verse 2 is saying, we all stumble with our tongues. By nature of the position, to do a lot of good or do a lot of bad, our tongues can be that like that. And while James is primarily talking about those who teach in church, we can expand that even to our parenting. We parents teach all the time. We must be careful when doing so. Our words hold immense weight. I go back to when I did a teaching degree and an education degree, and I remember psychology, and lectures saying how much damage we can do to students by being teachers if we don't do it the right way. One commentator refers to the tongue as the master key of our bodies. It determines everything else, moving us either positively or negatively. But you don't have to be a teacher to fall into the sin either. No one is exempt. No one. Let's have a quick look at what Jesus says about it. See, Jesus said that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can never truly say, I didn't mean it. We might not say all that we really think, but what we say, we really think. We always mean it, and usually we mean much more than what we actually say. You see, it's all coming out of the heart. Quite often we hold back what's in our heart of what we want to say. Other times, because we're so angry or frustrated or whatever it might be, it all just comes bubbling out. And whoever cops the biggest tongue lashing that they have had in a long time. We must be careful. If you cannot go for 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you have lost control of your tongue. We might think that I can go 24 hours, no worries at all. What about tomorrow morning when maybe you're stuck in traffic, someone's cut you off, you can't get there or whatever, and you start letting fly at all the other drivers around you, at the roads, at traffic lights or whatever it might be. You've undone the 24 hours already, and the day has only just begun. And yes, it might be in the car by yourself, but we've still had those thoughts or outspoken, and guess who hears? God hears. Let's move on and see what James says. The tongue is dangerous. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. You see, the tongue can kill. All it takes is that one little spark. One bit of gossip. One explosion of anger. One biting remark. One lie, one word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, it says in Proverbs. Our words don't even have to be intentionally murderous to do great harm. All it takes is a little carelessness. To give you an example of a little carelessness, not long ago there were wildfires a year or two ago in Southern California that ended up burning 22,000 acres, eating up homes and businesses. How did it start? Well, it started from a smoke bomb used in a gender reveal party. The party was held on September the 5th. The flames were not extinguished until November 16. There was another one I read while doing research as well. Back in the 1800s, off memory, it was a lady milking a cow. And she was doing the evening milking, and she had a hurricane lamp. And as cows occasionally do, which I can well and truly vouch for, as I've been kicked by a cow before, the cow lashed out, kicked the hurricane lamp. Guess what? There was lots of other stuff around. Hay, dry hay. Caused the fire that burnt a lot of Chicago. One little careless bit. James goes on and says, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, The tongue pollutes the rest of our body, affecting our whole life. Satan himself works with the evil of our tongues. Satan enjoys watching the result of our wicked tongues. In our sinfulness, we comply all too easily. You see, we break the Ten Commandments with our tongues. We take the Lord's name in vain. We neglect the Sabbath. We idolize people and things. We dishonor our mother and father. We murder through angry speech. We commit adultery through lustful words and speech. We steal through our lies. We complain about things we don't have, but others do. And they're just the tip of the iceberg. You see, we can't even hold the Ten Commandments because our tongue lets us down. James is not finished yet. He goes on. He said that the tongue is untamable. We can tame both the smallest animals and the largest, but not our tongue, less than 1% of the body. One piece of gossip, one outburst in weary frustration, a thoughtless slip of the tongue. Then in verse 8, he says, the tongue is restless. Bible translator J.B. Phillips translates this verse 8 as always liable to break out. The tongue is always liable to break out. And then in verse 10, James is saying hypocrisy. We are hypocrites. Blessing and cursing God, all with the same tongue. We praise God on Sunday, then gossip at lunch the same day. We do our devotions in the morning before work, and then we go to work and destroy others with our tongue. We have our social media for helping others and doing good. But then we show hatred to our friends. And how many of those have died in Australia, committed suicide, because we have posted something awful on social media? We may not have said it with our tongue, but we may as well have, because we've put it in print. And as we know, it never seems to go away out of that little thing that's called a mobile phone. It always seems to be there, coming back to bite us at some other stage. Yes, mankind can tame the largest animal, but we can't tame the smallest part of our body. The tongue is not untamable. James says it's impossible for us to tame our tongues. We must tame it though, but we are unable. It is our duty to tame it. But look what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all. And then he goes on and says, he did not say, if you look at that, he did not say the flesh is some help. No, he said that the flesh is no help at all. Look at the words that I put up there. The tongue is not untamable. It is for us, but it is not for Christ. He and he alone can tame the tongue. Do not try and tame the tongue yourselves. You will fail. 100%. We can only do it through the power of Christ. No other way. As is my usual, I don't like leaving you out there and saying, that's it. Read your Bibles and all will be good. As those who are regulars here know, I like to give you something to take away. And today I'm going to give you a little bit more to take away than what I normally do. So let's have a look at that. To tame the tongue. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that you have in us, with meekness and fear. At the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But I tell you from Matthew that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. But there are some steps we can take. Firstly, ask God for help. Second, confess your sins to God and others. Use your tongue to praise and encourage. It really struck me when I came across it. Have a look at your bulletins, not now but later on, and the piece that I have put in there about the true story of Johnny, the 19-year-old Down syndrome boy. I suppose it struck me because I have a granddaughter with Down syndrome and how loving she can be. But Johnny, working at a supermarket, and by just giving out little pieces of word encouragement, and I had to chop that down by about half. There was lots of other comments in there about what the managers have said and what the person who did the training was saying, etc., and customers were saying. So I had to greatly reduce it to get it into the word limit that I have to put it into the bulletin. But it was such an encouraging story of what we can do with our tongues. And okay, it's a little written piece that he put out to people. But we're still, comes from the heart. We either say it or we can write it. Now, I don't know whether, it didn't say whether Johnny was verbal or not. And as I said, having a granddaughter who is only partly verbal, I could fully understand how she would go about it in a similar type way. So, and this is what I really want to leave you with. Steps to transform your speech. Think of the word think. Before a word is uttered from your mouth, and you ask yourself the following five questions. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Think of the word think. The acronym THINK. Is it true? And yes, I know we can be quite, it can be quite interesting there. Oh, I have to speak the truth. But are you going to destroy someone because you've just spoken the absolute and utter truth at them? Which comes back to, is it necessary? Yes, at times it is. And that's something you're going to have to wrestle within yourself with God on that. Does the person need to hear that? Is it helpful for the person that you're talking to? If it's not, then make sure that little 1% keeps quiet? Is it inspiring? If it's going to build someone up, if it's going to encourage someone, that's going to do far, far more good than destroying someone. Because as we know, one wrong word, even just one wrong word, can destroy a person's life. I go back to the fact of social media and the fact that so many have been hurt by it. But so many have been hurt by words, taking out social media to go back. Go back to the old saying, and a lot of the older ones will understand this, and I heard it at school myself. Oh, I must be saying I'm old. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, I'm telling you that they can, and they will. Psychologists and psychiatrists are dealing with that each and every day, of putting people back together that have had bad words spoken to them by someone in their past or present. Is it necessary? And quite often when we are frustrated or whatever, we tend to think, oh well, we don't think whether it's going to be necessary or not. We don't think whether it's going to hurt someone or not. And yes, I know, and I am very guilty of it, to try and keep down that frustration or anger at times. But we must try with God's help. And lastly, is it kind? Which really goes back to the truth, the helpfulness, the inspiration. Is it kind? If not, keep it to yourself. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are able to read from your word, your inspired word, your wonderful words, and the words at times I can hear, almost hear your son saying them. Do I need to speak that or not? How is my tongue going to be used? Is it going to be used for good or not? Father, James is such a powerful word, and he has given us this word. But not just in this passage. We see even from chapter 1 and going through in this series, we have seen that we need to look after and tame our tongues. But as Jesus said, we can't do it ourselves. Yes, Satan tends to have a field day with it. But to cast Satan out and to make sure that we rely totally on your Holy Spirit, that before we say anything, before it comes up from the depths, that we think first. We think, what are we going to say? What damage is it going to do? Is it going to be able to help someone or tear someone down? Father, please forgive us for the times that we have torn people apart with our tongues. Please forgive us for the fact that we so often just blurt out, not realizing what damage we're doing. And particularly for parents in that frustration of disciplining children, those words that we can say that can so easily hurt and harm young people. Father, guide us in your ways. Guide us in your son's ways. May your Holy Spirit enter us and keep our tongues under control. And we pray that you will go with us to keep reminding us of this during this week. We ask it in and through the name of your dear son, Jesus. Amen.